So I'm here today, Heidi Blank from the Centers for Disease Control. The lead for this state indicator report was Dr. Stephen Onofrak, but he is unable to attend. I wanted to give a little bit of background to these reports, and I'm going to share. The CDC, our state programs, are responsible for carrying out nutrition, physical activity, and obesity interventions across numerous settings, child care, schools, communities, work sites, healthcare. And we really focus on a number of behaviors, fruits and vegetables, sugar drinks, reducing foods high in energy density, increasing physical activity, breastfeeding, and reducing screen time. So we've got a whole portfolio of things that we ask our states to do. And as a core function of public health, we really want to ensure we monitor to enhance what they're doing, but also to monitor behaviors. And so this is really why we've created these state indicator reports. And as others have expressed, there are roles at the federal, state, and local level, and really public health works best when it has those platforms. So I'll share a little bit about that today. I have no financial relationships to disclose, and the findings are my own. Okay, so when we've created these reports, we really tried to think about what are those levels where we're having impact into those healthier food aspects. And so this is a model we use many times that was recreated from the Mary Story Review in the annual review of public health. And so for this, we look across the multiple settings where people live, work, play, pray, really spend their time. And so that's we've really carried out through our reports. So today, my talk will focus, though, on the child care setting, but you can see through these reports how we get out to that level, that macro level, whether that's transportation or agriculture, more of those systems that impact us at a very high level, many times through federal policy. Maybe it's more at that level of organizational policy or organization changes to the environment. The social environment, how we as interpersonal, our peer networks, our social norms, and then down there at the level of individual skills and practices. As kind of a backdrop to this, there's been, as those of you who've been in the child care arena or early care and education setting, this really has been a really quick, I'd say, last couple of years of really gaining attention at both that national and local level. And so in May 2010, President Obama's Childhood Obesity Task Force report was one of the first real reports to include the child care setting as a real prevention aspect related to obesity. Following that was the early release in July 2010 of the National Standards for Obesity Prevention, as we talk about from the Caring for Our Children standards. November 2010 came out the IOM report that really looked at the Child and Adult Care Food Program, which was much discussed in the 8:30 session. And then December 2010, the Healthy Hunger Free Kids Act, really putting into place aspects related to restrictions in sugar drinks, increasing water access, and more about the CACFP program. And so our report kind of falls on the heels of that in April 2011. So this specific report, I put copies in the back of the room, and so there's a few for folks, but I'll also have the website. What we've really tried to do is monitor at the level of behavioral indicators, as well as policy and environment. And this is pretty tough at the level of the state many times, and even tougher at the local level, but it can provide some examples for monitoring. So specifically looking at the behavioral indicators, we looked at the consumption of sugar drinks, television viewing, and family meals. In the policy and environmental indicators, I'll focus today on the child care, but we also have the school measures and the community. So this is outside the age range that most of us are thinking about for the early care and education, but that's really because we lack data at the state level on these dietary behaviors. So we did our best to try to find data that would bring down to that really 0 to 5 level, but we have none at the state level. We have from the PEDNET system, which is more of the WIC population, we have TV viewing, but that's about the only one, and it was only on 41 states. So what we're left to then is to look at the high school data. For example, this is from the Youth Risk Behavior Survey, where we looked at high school students consuming one or more sugar-sweetened beverages a day. And on average, that was about 30%, and it ranged across the states from 14.5 to 41. And then looking at the television viewing of 3 or more hours, we find 33% of students watching at least that much time with that range. Also in this report, we looked at children ages 6 to 17 with bedrooms, with televisions in their bedrooms. So we know that this leads to increased television viewing, increased kind of mindless eating from watching that television. So it's one of our strategies is to reduce that presence. And nationally, 50% of children have this with a range of 24 to 78%. The one other aspect of nutrition we brought in here was eating together as a family, as family meals. And nationally, 30.7% reported not eating meals with their families most days of the week. So as you can see there, we really lacked data on the nutrition environments and those other types of environments for young children. But where we were able to include was this aspect of the food environment at the child care facility. So these data are already aging, becoming obsolete, but that's kind of the exciting part about this area. These were from the Sarah Benjamin report in 2010. And this is specific to both child care centers as well as the family care homes. Many times when you see this data, they only specify to the centers, but we brought the two data points together so that both homes and facilities would be included. And so the first is looking at state regulations that restrict sugar drinks in the centers and the homes. And nationally here, only finding two states, and then those that were requiring access to drinking water being at 27. Similarly, we looked at the regulations that limit TV and video time in the child care centers and homes, and nationally finding 18 states that had that regulation. In a separate card that we've put out every year since 2007, we looked at breastfeeding and breastfeeding supports. And so specifically looking at this, this comes from looking at the average appropriate fluids ratings as part of child care. And specifically here, only six states have a state regulation with policy recommendations here for regulations that support breastfeeding. We also have a state indicator report that looks at physical activity. So again, these focus on the behavior as well as out at that community level. And so again, in this report, we have data on park and recreation facilities, on the child care and the school setting. And specifically looking at this for state regulations that specify that children shall be engaged in moderate or vigorous intensity PA and licensed regulated child care centers. In 2006, so this was using the Story and KFINX data, only eight states. And so we've got a lot of work to do at that level of state licensing regulations. But it's important to know that many times these licenses are only renewed on like a five-year cycle. And so it's really important for folks who are interested in working at that state level to understand where they are in that process. So for this, again, it's going to be probably a decade-long approach as we see changes through these five-year cycles in the state licensing regulations. So I just wanted to point folks to these numerous state indicator reports. They really can provide levels or indicators that can be brought down to the local level. So as I mentioned, our breastfeeding report has been available since 2007. The report on fruits and vegetables came out in 2009 and will be coming out in 2012. Our physical activity indicator report, we'll have another one in 2012. And then this one that was specific to the sugar drinks and the television viewing was in 2011. It will probably come out again in 2013. With each of these reports that allow states to see their data, we've created national and state action guides. And so this allows you to see your state-specific data in comparison to the national data. We've put these out, we have 51, so that Washington, D.C. has its own action guide as well. We have this disseminated both through our own website as well as through partners in physical activity and nutrition. These also give link to specific strategies, whether it's from IOM or CDC, so that these can go right into a decision maker's hands with bulleted action steps for them. And so this is the website where these reports are available. And so it basically synthesizes at that level of a state regulation. When we've shared these reports, we've tried to also evaluate how useful they've been. I think what's really important about these reports is it allows a transparent level of definitions. And so we really want to make sure that users of these reports understand whether it's a center, the family homes, what does it mean to have actually have these policies in place. So each of them has very detailed definitions, and we'll continue to work on that. Folks would really like this to be at the community level. Basically, at this point, they'll work really well at that state licensing regulation level for child care. You can segment these as you need, but at the moment, when we look at behaviors, we have not really stratified the data by income, other aspects of disparities, but we have an interactive website launching very soon at CDC that will allow states to look at some of those behaviors by that levels of income and other sociodemographics. We continue to distribute these electronically, but if you're not aware of them, we're happy to take in information about other listservs and other places we can distribute these. We're happy to take and try to work toward more fact sheets that can provide this out to decision makers, and we'll do our best to try to keep these being regular reports. So that was kind of the platform of where are we as a nation. It really looks like we have a long way to go from improving at the state licensing regulation level. This just shows at CDC, so in our chronic disease center, 3/4 of our funds go out to state and local health departments. It's a mandate. So we don't keep that much in intramurally. So this shows, for example, states that currently have initiatives in the early care and education that are funded by CDC. And many of these are the Communities Putting Prevention to Work grants that have been out for the last 2 years. The CTG or Community Transformation Grants right now have just been funded as of October 1. So we'll hopefully update these maps soon for those communities and states that are continuing to work in the child care arena. So we are happy to provide technical assistance. We have a monthly child care teleconference where experts and others share their experiences. I'll have an email at the end where you can send an email to if you'd like to be part of those. We have a news blast that gives state and community spotlights. Some of these are kind of those emerging best practices in this area. Our state action guides on child care will be forthcoming. It really goes through a spectrum of opportunities for child care, and I'll share that with you in just a minute. We also have regional trainings that are on site to bring together interagency teams within states. Many times these are 6 to 7 individuals, the licensing folks, the child referral and resource center folks, the state health department, could be WIC directors. And so we're really trying to go region by region and bring together that to get them at the table, because many of them are not there across town or in siloed institutions, bringing them together to talk about nutrition and physical activity, moving beyond just hygiene and injury, really moving obesity prevention into their language. So I also wanted to talk about that local level, and this comes off of piggybacks on what we've been hearing from the other speakers here at the level of the child care provider. So if you're aware of the Let's Move Child Care initiative that launched, we're specifically working with the First Lady's office and really trying to ensure that there are a number of goals at that local level. So currently, in the Let's Move Child Care Challenge, we have 5 specific goals. This includes physical activity, reducing screen time, improving the foods that are served, improving the beverages, as well as that really important early part of breastfeeding and infant feeding. And so currently, individual providers can go online and register, and this is on the healthykidshealthyfuture.org website. We have about 1,400 child care providers that have so far signed up for this individualized challenge. There's a specific checklist that they look at to see where they are, and they get a tailored action plan for improvement. They can access the online tools and resources, and then once they've gone in, they can actually repeat that quiz, see how they've done, see if they've met their challenges, and then they get a recognition award. So early on when they sign up, they get a recognition certificate from the First Lady that shows that they're part of the program, that they're moving toward this, and at the end they get a higher level recognition. So this is very similar to where schools have been with either the Alliance for Healthier Generation type awards or the Healthier U.S. Schools Challenge. It's really that kind of incentive at that provider level to move us forward, and so that's part of the First Lady's initiative. So we welcome your comments on these indicator reports that we're providing at the state level. If you'd like to have more information about getting involved with the Let's Move initiative, that's that lmcchelp@cdc.gov. You can send an email there to be part of our monthly news blasts. And then at the end, there are all our reports. These takes a lot of folks to work across all these areas at CDC. And so these are some of our acknowledgments. Since I do have a little bit of time here, I did want to show you that upcoming in the next couple of weeks, we have a number of webinars, and so if you send that email to that help, you can get on the list for these. And so specifically, we've covered a couple of the nutrition areas. Those are archived on the NACRA website, the referral and licensing regs folks that help us with this. But we have a number of training webinars coming up on physical activity, infant feeding, and screen time. Okay. So Let's Move Child Care Help, lmcchelp@cdc.gov. And so that'll get you on the web list that you'll see the monthly news blasts. You can ask about any kind of these resources and helpers. We've got one staff member who, she's on a BlackBerry all the time, sending out emails and hooking people up with this. So lmcchelp@cdc.gov. And so you can be part of these webinars. And then this is our spectrum of opportunities. So as you know, as someone who's at that federal level, you know, there are things to be said about having a federal policy, but really at the moment, this is really at the state level through state licensing and regulations. We have some things that are at the federal level, like the Child and Adult Care Food Program that really sets the meal patterns and reimbursements, but much of the action, as talked about, really is at that state licensing level. But not all states really want to change their policies. Policy with a big P, it's not, doesn't resonate depending on the part of the country you're at. And so there's so much to be done. This could be the quality rating improvement systems, the QRIS that we've talked about. There are a number of states that have kind of an ABC or a golden foot, golden sneaker approach to try to incentivize at that local level. The early learning standards, finding more funding, facility level interventions, family engagement. And so we have a new guide that'll be coming out here in 2012. That'll really kind of provide an overview from that federal down to that local level of where there can be action.